Ooh, and I promise I'm not a furry. Beastars review.
You sure Ooh. You're not a furry, Ryan?
I promise I'm not a furry. Or am I? Maybe I am. After watching this, did it turn into furries then? Who knows?
Who knows?
So I don't know how to start it. There's so much to talk about in this. Okay, I don't even know if we can really call it an anime review because it's, it isn't anime. It's Japanese animation based on a manga, but it's animated in the style of
PlayStation.
No. Okay, first things first, you cannot hate on the animation that much. I like the animation, but
no, I hated on it, and then it grew on me. It just like I was like, okay, damn, okay. This is yeah. But anyway, we're not gonna
So it's in the style of like Ajin, that kind of like you. It's kind of like that slow frame rate, but it's like 3D kind of thing going on, you know. And it's you can't really call it a slice of life. You can't call it action. You can't call it anything really. Well, is it mature? Is it not? Is it a soap?
It's high school drama. High school drama is what I'd say.
Okay, high school drama. I think we should take it in turn, right? Take it from the top. Take it from the beginning.
Well, the best way to take it from the beginning is literally, you know, looking through recommendations, ooh, things to review.
Haru-chan.
And yeah, you are like, we should watch Beastars. So I was thinking, oh, what's this? Sounds interesting.
You watch the trailer.
What you know on Netflix when you hover over the little thing? Because I literally saw that and I was like, oh, that was rubbish. I'm not going to touch that with a 10-foot pole. But
literally, what good is that?
But so you put it in the things to review, and I was like, oh, fuck it, then let me just give it a go. And so I started it. But before I started it, I'd listened to a review from our lovely friends over at Geek Sweat.
Love those guys, yeah. What were they saying?
I don't want to go too much into detail, but they had a pretty adverse reaction to the series. And they were like, I was, you know, throwing up. Like, there were, you know, there was deer on deer. There was, like, deer on rabbit, wolf on rabbit. Like, I was like, what? That doesn't, like, how are they going to put this on Netflix? Is that even legal? What's going on? So, naturally, I was like, ooh, let me give this a go. Let me see if it's actually what they say. And yeah, like you enter this world, which is like Zootopia, isn't it? That Disney Pixar movie where everything just happens to work with anthropomorphic animals, just like going about their day. And they explain everything. They explain how do carnivores eat, right? Because like, it's the whole Mickey Mouse complex, right? Like, why does Goofy stand up on his hind legs, and then Pluto is like a proper dog? Like, that doesn't work, right? Like, there's no little plot holes of the mechanics in that regard. Like, it's all somehow a fully functioning society, and all the events basically happen around this school. You know what, when we were sort of deciding how to categorize this movie, I'd also say it's a bit of a mystery as well, because it kind of starts off with some person in the school getting eaten, and we're sort of brought into this world where animals can coexist, but they're still trying to suppress their instincts. They're still trying it's like animals trying to be human, and that's kind of what the show is.
Yeah, a university setting with what a whole society is. Basically, you have carnivores and herbivores living together, and the carnivores are forced to eat like soy-based meals, you know, they're vegetarian, but they're in the guise of meat, right? And then the herbivores obviously live along. So yeah, and it's a crime to eat herbivores. It's called a devouring if you eat a herbivore.
Exactly. It'll be like if you and me went to school with a plantain, and he was like our, the third person in our group, and like one day I just like just had a little nibble, but I didn't mean to. Oh, that's so good. Yeah.
And it's a criminal offense, like to do that. Yeah. So against you know, and it questions whether carnivores should live this type of way. Should they, you know, why are they caged in when they're clearly superior as far as physically, sort of thing. And it's about, can social rules constrain someone that's born completely differently? It's kind of Animal Farm or something, right?
Yeah, well, so you say that, but I feel like pretty early on in the series, it kind of dropped any pretenses of like an allegory. Like, I was thinking, oh, wait, you know, are the wolves the black people? Or no. Is it like, because Zootopia was very much an allegory of current society where, like, the predators, the foxes, were sort of treated as the underclass because, you know, the herbivores felt threatened by them. Actually, that's exactly what this show is. you got that sort of contrast going on, but it's not necessarily talking about how there's like a an underclass. It's more like I think the sort of link to human society isn't really the important thing, and here it's really just you knowing each of these different animals and how they exist in the wild, and
right
you sort of seeing that how this society, even though it works, it means that people have to be repressed. People have to can't live freely. So maybe it's an allegory about, you know, Japanese life or whatever. You know,
that's exactly what it is.
Yeah, because people get worked so hard over there and all that. Like, they're so stressed, suicide rates are up. Maybe it's like people trying to suppress their, I don't know, urges or whatever.
I mean, it almost is a bit jarring how, when I was watching it, it felt like it just felt weird to me that they had this Japanese etiquette going on. Like, everyone called san, or, you know, they bow before everything. And I'm like, I think this is a series where they could have thrown that away and went for something a bit different, you know?
Well, yeah, like, especially with the style, it nothing about it really shouts anime. It's, it could be culturally agnostic, right? It could have a general appeal, like Death Note did, but it sort of enforces that, you know, the Japanese customs. I get you.
So let's focus on the first episode, right? Which I think was quite kind of a genius one. I don't know about you, but the way the episode begins gives you a little bit of that detective vibe going on. Someone's getting eaten. It's a guy called Tem, first devouring in like what, years, months or something. Little alpaca eaten up, and we don't know munched. Who it is. So we know it's a big guy, and who do we see next scene? Our main character, Legoshi. He's a wolf. He's like a dead-eyed wolf, clearly sleep deprived, and no one really knows much about him. He's just in the drama club, right? He does the tech and he's always in the background, but he's like this big guy, but he's very meek, sort of thing. And you're thinking, hang on, ding dong, could it have been him that ate the alpaca?
Yeah, I mean, he's a wolf. He looks like someone who could do it, you know? He's got it in him. He's got them fangs. Mm-hmm. It's true.
And, well, we still don't know, but...
Yeah, that annoyed me, the fact that they didn't resolve the initial setup.
We still don't know, but... I mean, you're pretty sure it wasn't him, right? And because... But even then, at the end of the first episode, you still don't know because... what happens? He gives in to his desires in that first episode. You see that weird little 3D render of the smell entering his nose.
Yep.
I was not a fan of that 3D thing.
Oh my god. And they repeat it multiple times. It's like this smell goes into his head and then forms into the shape of a rabbit, and he's rabbit, like, oh, yeah. I can smell. But
all my desires.
Yeah, so, you know, wolf gives in to his urges and wants a little, you know, bite of them rabbit cheeks, you know, that's a little nibble.
That's how the first episode ends, yeah.
So you say it's genius, but what about it is genius?
I just loved how they played with your expectations in that first episode. It was just nice, like, the way he, you know, he grabs onto her, tears into her arm.
It's nice, yeah.
I wouldn't say it was totally genius, but I would say, like, it was interesting. It hooked me.
Yeah.
In a way. Not completely hooked me, but... because there is an actual bit which I would call genius in one of the future episodes. You might guess what it is, but...
well, for me...
yeah, it was a nice introduction to the series.
For me, the way I see it... like, what's interesting is whenever... I'm watching a series in our list of things to review, I'm always going in with the what rating am I going to give it kind of mentality. Yeah. So I'm coming in, and the first thing I see are these super, like, clunky, like, 3D animations, and I'm like, 6.5 all the way. Like, let's go. 6.5, or 6, man, what's this guy doing? You know, this whole weird, his eyes are lighting up, this, like, aroma animation, what's going on? I'm not really invested in the story. What, this mystery? And then, like, he just pounces on this rabbit and they leave it at that cliffhanger. And I'm like, oh, well, 6.5, I'm just watch another episode, you know. Just.
Mm-hmm.
And then that sort of trend continues and I'm just drawn into this story. Much in the same way as, like, other anime where, like, it sort of revolves around high school life. But it's really easy to get drawn into the drama. So, you know what? Okay, I've been, like, flip-flopping on what I'd say the genre is. But I'd say this is kind of like a soap. It almost feels like a soap.
It's a bit unlike other anime in that it doesn't skirt around sexual relations.
Are you sure?
Yeah, I mean, because think about, compared to, like, it's almost like with other animes, they're almost a bit childish in how they deal with that. You know, like in Naruto, it's like, oh, I'm gonna marry you after the war, and now a baby pops out. So I think there's no, like...
good point,
real
good
relationship
point.
Thing, like, because obviously it's not like in other animes, it's sort of like we're only gonna do it when we get married, sort of thing. There's none of that.
But the thing is, it's with this, they sort of just throw you into the deep end as far as, like, the mature content
episode
goes.
Two.
Yeah,
episode two. Let's take it through.
Because you see this rabbit person that, you know, Legoshi's, like, about to have a little munch on, but, you know, decides not to. And what are you thinking? Okay, you're thinking, this is, like, a little nervous wolf guy that obviously is, like, a proper animal, and this rabbit is just innocent, just
innocent,
cute little...
She's being bullied by all the other rabbits.
Yeah.
Thrown about. But all the flowers getting trampled on. I thought it was going to be, like, generic anime, like, oh, they're the one main couple who's going to... well, marry after the war. There's going to be a war.
The war between the carnivores and the herbivores. They did not go that easy route, though. And
No, he didn't.
Well, because what's genius about this series is that they... I'll give Paul Itagaki, you know, his dues. Mm-hmm. He makes some really complex characters. And he does a good job of making people... act in ways that are opposite to the way they look. You have this cute little bunny character that's getting bullied, and you don't feel sorry for her because of sort of her inner dialogue going on. It's like, these girls think that I'm taking their man, but, you know, they're just jealous or whatever. And I'm just like, oh, you know, she is kind of a bit of a, you know.
What? I still felt sorry for her there, even then. But it's like, because it's all, I thought that she was like, you know, you still don't understand, because no one's saying why they're doing this to us, sort of thing.
Fair enough. I think maybe as the series progresses, my opinion of this rabbit character kind of goes from, like, feeling sorry for her to, you know, sort of disliking her.
Oh, really? Okay. All right.
But yeah, so there is kind of this, like, mystery or elf mystery of why does everyone hate this rabbit character, like, who, she hasn't done anything wrong, and yeah, like, so I mean, you could probably talk about when they take us into the deep end, but, you know, things get a bit mature later on, and, like, a kind of understanding where Geek Sweat were coming from almost in a way.
Little Yagoshi going up in there, get some flowers for his you know, for his drama club. Literally, ding dong, he walks into the thing. Like, it was so... I thought it was kind of well done how they did it. It was at the end of the episode, so they Legoshi spent some time talking to the rabbit, and she doesn't remember who pounced on her, because the wolf that was obviously him,
mm-hmm.
Left a scratch mark on her arm, like clawed her arm almost off, right? But she just bandaged it, right? And then she's like, oh, I don't remember what happened last night. So Legoshi goes in, he thinks she's quite cute, he's like, oh, she's so small, sort of thing, but he's like a bit bashful, you know, he's like, just wants to talk to her, wants to, you know, he kind of wants to apologize, but he doesn't want to, so just wanders in to the little, you know, what do you call it, greenhouse?
Yeah.
Cabin, sort of thing.
It was like a little house near the garden, right? It was like, randomly a bed in there, I don't know why there was a bed in there. Or
living in the school, sort of thing. You have a dorm. And then she's like, she says, well, you helped me with all these flowers. You know, want to go out for dinner sometime? Legoshi's like, I don't know if you thought this was annoying, but Legoshi always has a monologue going on to every little thing. Like, oh, she's looking at me. She asked me something. Let me, and while he's like meditating on this, she's, takes off her top.
Ryan, did you see this coming? Because I think it was quite clever how, like, there wasn't any sexual tension building, and you sort of feel like, okay, this is just a nervous wolf, and then, like, what, you know, she's taking her clothes off. What's going on?
I did not see it coming, because I love how they animated as well. It's like each freeze frame is like different part of like her. Like, she goes from just being like this rabbit, and then all of a sudden she's like a different person, wandering up to Legoshi, and he's like,
rabbit titties coming out.
I wonder if the fur goes all the way down to...
Oh my god,
she literally said that. Obviously it's not hentai, right? So you don't see anything, like, she's still
I mean
it practically could. If someone walks in to you while you're watching this, you better have a good explanation, okay? But obviously nothing happens. I mean, Legoshi runs out. Like, it's quite strange to him, like, you know, first experience, and it's this random rabbit, like a carnivore and a herbivore. It's quite unnatural, right?
But it's weird, because it almost... It's just like a total reversal of roles, right? Like, mm-hmm. First episode, Legoshi is the predator. He literally pounces on this person because he has the intention of eating her. And then, you know, they flip the script, and she basically lured him into her lair and was about to pounce on him. Right? It was weird.
Yeah.
And one thing I love about this series is that they explore the sort of It's almost like a very fine line between Legoshi's feelings for Haru, because it borders on, you know, like wanting to eat her and wanting to, like, fuck. I feel like, you know, Itagaki wants to sort of play with those feelings, and like it's how almost the human psyche works with us having like a you know, difference between, or not so big distinction between pleasure and pain, or how sometimes you might lust for someone, but it could just be you putting energy from one feeling into another.
Unrequited love, or the difference between love and sex as well, is another thing. Because she says, the Haru girl, she says, like, she doesn't meet up with guys after she's done it with them once, and she's done it with like almost all the herbivores, right, in the school. And it's like, clearly there's not a love there, it's more like a physical thing for her.
I guess that wasn't what I was going on, but there is the unrequited love thing, and there's like a whole love polygon going on, isn't there?
It's like a love cube almost later on.
But I'm sort of thinking, like, it's the I think there's a word for it. It's like the misattribution of arousal, where, like, you feel aroused by something that's, like, completely irrelevant. Like, what you see, like, the perfect right angle, and it's like, oh, you know, like... I don't know. For me, it's interesting that someone, or this character's desire to consume someone, can take the form of lust or hunger. Both of these things sort of link back to that animal instinct. And it's something that you can sort of see in human nature as well. It's like a lot of these feelings, especially in this sort of like high school environment, which is almost like the Animal Kingdom. Like, if you compare it to like even real life high school, right? It's like, you know, cutthroat. The dynamics between different people. It's just interesting that like base instincts sort of present themselves in a very nuanced way. Like I appreciate how this was done. Is what I wanted to say.
Exactly. Right, right way. Other notable characters to mention. Obviously, we have to talk about the supposedly handsome dear Louis. That guy just looks weird. I brought in the school going, oh, it's Louis Senpai. Like, I don't know, man.
Well, so
he looks weird.
The namesake of the series is Beastars, right? And this, what, his name is Louis Legomme? What's his name?
Louis.
Well, yeah, so Louis wants to be a Beastar. What is a Beastar?
I don't know. I still don't know after watching the thing. I think they lead, they're like probably the mayor of the school. So or they represent something. They represent everything.
It's the most crowbarred in concept out of everything in the show.
It's like Gangstar in JoJo.
It's but yeah, so you have this Louis character that is kind of you know, he's an up and coming herbivore and he wants to sort of, he has this grand, you know, mission to change everything. He wants to shake up the system. He's the Barack Obama, the little guy that's gonna go up there and take over from the world of predators. And yeah, he basically is some guy that has this chip on his shoulder that's also tapping the rabbit. And
spoiler. Okay. I mean, yeah, I could bleep that out if we don't want to keep spoilers in. But yeah, we won't spoil everything because it's yeah, you definitely wanna. But yeah, I mean, I guess the Beastar is just someone that's voted in by people. He represents the will of the whole population and the school thing. I don't know, man.
But, like, I feel like with his character, because for me, like, whenever I'm watching these sort of little microcosms of society, I'm trying to see where there is allegory, because I always find that interesting. And the one part I found really interesting was when you had, because all of these characters, Legoshi, Louis, they're in this drama club, and Legoshi's basically like a background guy. He's not really, you know, he just wants to sort of do the props and stuff. And events happen. That means that Legoshi has to go on stage naturally.
This is the bit I was talking about, which is going to be the genius bit.
Oh, there you go.
This bit, yeah, the play.
Well, do you want to take over?
No, go for it.
But like, so you have this, like, it's almost like this high school is, like everyone in this high school is acting, right? There's already one sort of layer of separation where everyone is an animal, and if you're a herbivore, you have the instinct to want to, you know, flinch or run away from a predator when you see them, right? Because that's your, you know, it's in your DNA. But everyone is keeping up the appearances of pretending that they're living in this high society, and you sort of see that sort of being chipped away at in this drama society, because you have people pretending in another way, right? They're pretending that they're in this play centered around this deer character. And you have this scene where Legoshi basically is the main opponent of the deer character's, the person that the deer is playing, but he, you know, something happens, he can't play. Tiger comes in, Tony the Tiger, and it's
biggest cannibal around, drank some, what was it? Some bunny blood or something.
Well, like, he sprayed some, bunny blood, because that's basically what gets Legoshi going, right? Like,
gets you high,
as soon as he smells that rabbit, he's in full, like, ultimate instinct mode. And so you have him trying to basically get, like, this good performance out of Legoshi, and Legoshi is, like, fighting to, stay in the character of Legoshi that he's been playing throughout this whole series, but also trying to tap into what it is that makes him, you know, more of an alpha wolf rather, because he's beta the whole way, right? But like, he's hiding in him like a beast, right? And like a beast star. And yeah, so you have this one scene.
The play itself is about a masked villain as well, because it's all an allegory for carnivores having to live like herbivores, etc. Yeah, go for it, Ozan.
And for him to give the best performance in this play, he really has to like tap into that his animal nature. And you see that go out of control, and you see it as like the tension builds up to this moment that you're getting really nervous for these characters. Like, there's so much at stake, isn't it? And yeah, I don't know. I just thought that scene was brilliant. Like
when freaking Louis throws the mask on, because he's obviously broke his leg, right? But he turns up in that moment and he fools her into thinking that this was the plan all along. You know, oh, it was so sick, that bit. I think like if you're watching the series and you watch that episode with the play and you're not hooked after, then you're not gonna like it.
Nah,
after that is like one of the best things.
This is a series of like, I guess, two climaxes, and that's one of them for sure. The other one that you were sort of telling me about the other day was one that, because I feel like this series really mined everything about this little high school being an animal kingdom. It even had like cool, funny episodes where like there was this chicken that sat next to Legoshi and it's like, oh,
oh yeah.
Ooh, you know, I'm making eggs and he's eating my eggs. Like, oh, it was a bit weird almost, well, but like, yeah. You know, you sort of have every animal being represented, and it kind of departs from the whole duality. Carefully constructed, carefully constructed characters and the interplay between them, and it kind of throws that all away when the story wants to pursue the romance that which they want to sort of bring to the front.
To force, almost. In a way, because Harry obviously loves Louis, but then we don't want Legoshi to fall back. So what's going to have to happen? Some life or death situation. Hang on, 46 tigers want to kill her. Okay.
Wait, lions even.
Crouching tiger, yeah. She's in the lion's den, literally.
Legoshi. Oh my god.
And this random panda guy, where does this guy come from?
Oh my god.
I don't know what's going on. Like, okay, there's this market where they illegally sell herbivore meat, right? It's like a thing. That's how they keep the carnivores in check.
Well,
you know,
yeah,
desire.
Because it's like, oh, this almost is like a little callback to our conversation with Andrew, right? It's like, whenever you have a society that's restricted, that's when sort of the fringe cultures come out in full force, right? Like, the fetish scene in Poland is like apparently mad, according to him. You've seen it. But in this society, right, people are trying to suppress their urges of eating herbivores. So naturally, this black market crops up where, you know, we're giving away dead meat, we're giving away black market meat.
It's like homeless people that are offering people to bite their fingers off for
just
money.
Just a little munch, just, you know, $1 a finger. Just
do it quickly. Have a
little chomp on my finger. Yeah.
That's awful. That bit was so scary. It was disturbing.
I was at first not even sure what he was offering. I was like, is he like, you know, doing a little alleyway, you know, cheeky little
you have like all those like roasted like deer kebabs in the background and like this beautifully lit setting, and he's just like going for the old guy.
Just have a little finger, man.
But I guess that shows what the value of live meat is, though, because the dead meat isn't even worth a homeless person and their one live finger is worth more to a carnivore than like all that other.
But
that's
it's
crazy.
It's weird because this underworld is what kind of keeps society going, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And it's pretty much the same with normal society, right? You have, you know, I don't know, what's black market? Like, what, prostitution, drugs and all that. These are all the things that happen in the background. These animal instincts that humans sort of suppress, and they're kind of what keeps society going, and people turn a blind eye to it. But like in this anime, people are turning a blind eye to their true nature. I'm not an advocate for let's drop all pretenses and become animals, but I'm just saying it's interesting that in this like clunky 3D anime, it's shining a light on just, you know, animal nature, people's base instincts. Like I'm seeing society as I'm watching this anime, but all that kind of is kind of put aside because we got a panda with a gun and a toothpick in his bamboo. Mouth.
You passed out in the dark market. Let me lock you in my basement. And you think something's dodgy gonna happen here, but no, I'm a doctor actually. here's a porn mag.
Oh my god, that features. Porn mag.
Test yourself on it. literally test yourself on it. If you don't feel anything, then it means you just want to eat her. See you later. I'm going to go back to doing whatever
panda,
it is I
panda
do.
Panda stuff, you know?
Panda, yeah. And see you in 5 episodes when you just kill a whole den of lions by yourself. So, catch you then.
It's a shame because you have this sort of carefully constructed plot, but also I'm used to seeing archetypes in anime. Like I'm used to seeing tropes, and it would kind of throw me off a bit if they didn't see the romance through, because they're kind of even though you're saying they're forcing it, but it's like, okay, you got this main girl, you got the main guy. How does it end, right? Like, is Legoshi just gonna be like, yo, Louis, you know, go for it, man. I'm gonna help you, you know, you're third wheeling it all the way. He kind of makes a big thing that he wants to confess to her, even though she's already turned him down. But like, let's confess somewhere else. Maybe she'll say yes this time. I don't know. And I'm seeing this main character, and she's like, okay, she's not into him. She's into someone else. You know, she's confused him for other people. Like, Legoshi, man, take the L. You know what I'm saying? there's a nice cute wolf waiting.
We haven't
talked
about her yet. Juno, she's a big character as well. Like, she's literally like one of the like penniest ones, right? As far as what the wolves see, right? Mm-hmm. Or the carnivores.
You might also
no, because like a little bit part, of wolf. Right? There's a part where she like dresses up to like impress Legoshi, and everyone's like, "Oh, she looks so good. She looked better in her uniform, don't you think?" Like,
it's weird because it's other than the eyes, like it could be a man. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, the eyes just don't fit. Like, they're these anime eyes on like a wolf's face. I don't know about that. But yeah, she's like this. She's a strange character actually, because you expect her to be innocent, who's being picked on by herbivores, and then later on she's like declaring war on Louis and Haru at the same time, like, I'm gonna be the next B star.
Actually, what's interesting is the characters that you don't think are innocent in this series are pretty pure of they have a pretty pure nature. Like Louis, someone that like kind of acts as the asshole character, when he's sort of dressed down in his intimate moments with Haru, you know, I'm not gonna say much more about that. But yeah, you kind of see that, like, he is pretty, you know, one dimensional. That's not really the word, but he's like very
Avenger character.
is that the voice of Sasuke? Or I don't know. Like, I feel like I recognize his voice in the English or the anime dub. But yeah, like. I don't know why I'm going to this point, but it's just like I sort of see that they flip the script even with that. Like the people that you expect to be multidimensional are kind of singular in nature, and the other way around.
Uh-huh. One thing that's funny is when a cat that has like these claws that can tear a guy's face off pulls out a gun. He's just like, oh my God. This is my it's a gun. What? Okay, I just had to get that out there. but yeah, where were we before we went on the whole Juno tangent?
Okay, mate, so you got Legoshi, they got his girl, he's fighting this 46 army lion mafia that just randomly exists, because why not? You know, you got a mayor that... Yeah,
there's only two on each floor as well.
you got a mayor that makes himself look like a cartoon character on purpose, because apparently he wants to make himself look less threatening. But yeah, he's sort of trying to hide this. He's trying to tell Louis, like, oh, you know, even though your girl's been kidnapped, you know, just keep this on the down low, then you can be a B star, you know, it's all gonna be good. Legoshi's not having that, you know. He's third wheeling all the way. He's gonna get himself killed trying to save you know, them rabbit titties. You're gonna run all the way. Gonna run all the way into the into lion's den.
Uh-huh.
You know, he's gonna go straight. No, there's no more puns. I was gonna say straight from the lion's mouth, but that's the horse's mouth. Anyway,
he's gonna. I mean, okay. There's one cool bit when you see him go wolf mode. I love that bit.
No, that looks horrible. When those veins, those his eyes go red.
I love
that. And they do it than once because they can only afford to animate it like once.
And he's because he was all running along the ceiling and he ripped into his neck. That was cool.
No, that bit reminds me. You know, in Attack on Titan, when I was the quality just went rubbish, right? When,
really?
Like, it reminds me of that. Like, when it's just to have this. Because the thing about this anime is. I understand why they chose the 3D route, because, you know, 2D animation is expensive, so they're going to try to use this experimental sort of style of CGI that's stylized, like you said, low frame rate, in order to emulate how an actual anime would be, and it's, sort of fixed camera angles. They don't try and do loads of rotations and, make it look like it's 3D, because they want to give the illusion that it's 2D. And in some frames it works, some frames it doesn't. But when they do these effects, I feel like that's when it the whole thing breaks down and it just doesn't look good. Like, they have these particle effects and all that, like all the stuff coming up his neck and all that. It's like, I don't know. It that's the bits when it looks 3D are the bits I like the least visually.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. Like, I don't know, I think they're getting there, but it's like, I think people that don't like the 3D don't like it, you know. It needs some work, but I kind of enjoyed how it was a bit different. I think if it was a 2D animation of pieces, I don't think I'd like it as much. I think it makes it a bit different, and I think it fits it as well because of how it's a bit weird animation fits the weird story sort of thing.
Well, it's like this Into the Spider-Verse kind of thing. Like, I like how they did it, even though it was the only thing that affected me was the low frame rate. But you know, whatever. But yeah, anyway, I guess that's my whole technical spiel out of the way. But yes, so, back to the lions. Back to Lugosi and the lions. What's he doing?
He's gonna kill them. He's gonna punch him in the face. That's all he did. Like, he just ran up and says, kept running.
And then, literally, he was basically, you know, down and out, and Panda comes in, and... They just clear this whole, you know, for every lion, it's literally just one hit, and they're out. You know what, for me, I feel like at this point, it's just for the sake of convenience that they want to wrap everything up.
Literally, because we've seen how strong lions can be in the series. Like, there's one lion in the drama club, but he overpowers Lugosi at every opportunity, right?
Yeah.
Almost every. So, the fact that these ones are going down in one hit, it's like... definitely a convenience
thing. It's just not realistic. Like, I was thinking maybe he'll do a stealth operation, but he literally went in all guns blazing. He should have died. He should have died. Something. Like, maybe get to the end, rescue her, but then all the wounds and stuff, he can't make it, and then he dies.
Instead, goes to a hotel, doesn't even get laid still. Oh my god.
Okay, well, but, I think we've dropped all pretenses of a spoiler-free review, but...
Okay, I'll edit that out.
No, we don't have to. Because I'm editing it.
Are you?
Oh, wait, no, I'm not. Ignore that. We have to edit that out. But I feel like, because they rushed to end it, it kind of ruined it towards the end. But everything in the setup, everything leading up to it, was... Yeah, it was good. And it was... I feel like you've explored all the avenues. Like, is there anything you think we've missed?
Review time? No, I think we're good for a review, you know? I think we're good for one. So, who wants to go first? Shall I go first? I'll go first.
Go for it.
I highly recommend this because it's so different. And I mean, if we're just a bit on a kind of a no man's land of what to watch, you know? I don't know what to watch. I think challenge yourself with this one, you know? It will surprise you, and I think even though it's a bit weird, it's just quite fun to watch, you know? So, for me, Beastars gets a 8 out of 10.
Solid.
Solid review. Right there. I was then.
And, yeah, I'm kind of... I'm right up there with you with the 8 out of 10. Just gonna come out of the rating straight away. But yeah, Beastars was just a surprise. It just in the way that it just came out of nowhere with that like really nice detailed like plot and characters that had a lot of attention paid to it, and it could have got an even higher rating if it sort of didn't dip towards the end. Even though like it wasn't so bad that it was like gonna affect my entire view of the whole thing, but I just loved how they explored you know, a lot of philosophical concepts, instincts, the duality of nature, you know, society, how we're repressing all that. And yeah, it spoke to me in that way. And it was, yeah, well, I guess it was a bit of a shame that our boys at Geek Sweat didn't see eye to eye, you know, because I feel like a lot of people coming in will just think that this is like some furry porn, or will think that this is like you know, bestiality or something, you know, beastiality or, you know, whatever. But I feel like if you can kind of get past any sort of hype around this series, oh, yeah, or like anyone sort of saying, oh, you know, is that the, you know, the rabbit titties one? Rabbit titties on there? Nah, it's just more than that, man. There's more. More than just titties.
I mean, for those that can look past those rabbit titties, you'll find an interesting watch. So embrace them. Embrace them well. And I think it's time for us to head on out. So let's end on some plugs, Ozan.
So if you want to play some of my games, soon I'm going to be going on to my new domain. But until then, plan10.itch.io is where you can find them. Ryan, got any art you want to plug away?
Instagram, Long Spatula. Also on Facebook and Twitter. I'm doing a doodle. I'm going to do a doodle Plankton. Ooh, as nice. Light holding the Krabby Patty secret formula as a Death Note. So that's coming up. Maybe soon. That's it. That's it. That's the episode. Pretty much it.
That's everything.
So that's all there is to say.
I guess. Well, there's one more thing to say, Ryan.
And that is...
Peace!